Hey guys, Justin again, Fully Live Athlete Pastor Channel. We are on day 51 of the Online Bible Reading Club, and I am back in my office, finally, as the temperatures have finally arrived above the freezing level. We've been in a deep freeze in Oklahoma for quite some time, and I am back in the office outdoors again, and thankful to be here. So God is good to us, and let's get to the Word today. It's going to be Leviticus 26 and 27. The last two chapters of the book, by the way, that's the third book of the Bible, which we are finishing today, and then Mark chapter 2, which is the second of the four Gospels in the New Testament. All right, so when you look at it, why read the Bible is the question. It's a great question. Is it worthwhile? I would say yes, because unlike any other book, you know, you pick up a biography off the shelf, you pick up some nonfiction, you pick up a storybook, you read it, and you get benefit out of it. You can learn history, you can be entertained, you can do a lot with any other book. But the Bible, unlike any other book, is a book where we not only learn things that are useful, but we meet God in this book. Now, I remember being a college student and having instruction on how to do evangelism. And we would it would be broken down into the most simplistic, easy form to where any monkey could do it, right? You could take any guy off the street and you give him a little tiny booklet with four principles, and you give these four propositions, and it leads, you know, intuitively to a decision that you would make to accept Christ so that you can live with him forever, have eternal life, and get out of hell for your sin. Now, it usually is presented with God has a wonderful plan for your life. And that plan involves heaven, you know, and you need to know that, and you need to, you know, make that sure. And so I find that to be the most, you know, worthless, you know, thing at all. If that's all you have missed out on the greatest blessing of being a man or a woman, whichever one you are. There's only two genders, by the way, man or woman, sex. We're getting off topic here though, but whatever you are made for one purpose, and that's to know God. And if you just have this plan of salvation that you're, and four propositions that you're asserting to, you have missed the point entirely. You're made to know God. Well, I would venture to say that a great majority, I don't even know, like, it'd be foolish to guess the percentage of Christians out there who are people who'd say they're Christians out there. I would guess the vast majority have probably never read the chapter we're looking at today in Leviticus 26. But if you look at it, in this chapter is so much blessings for you, so much blessings. I wish everyone could read this because it is a joy to read, because how it starts is God gives us a command about idol worship. Yeah, it's typical, right? He doesn't want us worshiping idols. But then it says there, "For I am the Lord your God," in verse 1. And he says, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." So he's not just the Lord, he is your Lord. He's speaking to you. And that L-O-R-D in all caps is the Lord's covenant name, Yahweh. I am that I am. All right? Will be that will be. He is Yahweh. That's the name that he reveals to his people. Well, as he goes through there, you see that he exercises great concern over the people and what they do. It says there that he will discipline them. It says repeatedly that he will punish them and discipline them for breaking the commands that he's given them. Why? Because look at what he is. He's in verse 13. He says, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You should not be their slaves. I've broken the bars of your yoke and made you walk." Now, I think that is just something you cannot miss, is that God relates to these people as their Savior and their Redeemer. So it would make sense that we would, as, you know, I think of Toy Story, for instance. In the Toy Story 2 movie, there's the three little green aliens, and they get rescued by, I believe it is Rex, the dinosaur, or one of the secondary characters in there. It might be the pig. I'm not sure. One of them. Or no, it's Potato Head. Miss Potato Head. Miss Potato Head rescues the aliens, and they say, "Oh, thank you for saving us. We're eternally grateful." And they want to serve this Potato Head. Well, I mean, like, if we're thinking about the Lord, He rescues us. He saves us. He cares for us. And so it makes no sense that we rebel against Him, right? And that's why He punishes us for disobedience. Like, if you look at this whole chapter 26, it's curses on the people and horrible things that read through it. And you wonder, like, why bad things happen. Well, bad things happen just because God's cursing us, or they're happening because He loves us and wants to discipline us and teach us. That's the thing too. And it says here that in the last verses of the chapter, it's a long chapter, but it's after it says, it gives us basically a run through of what's going to happen in history, as that the people of God, Abraham's descendants, are going to be run off into in exile, and then eventually return to the land. The nation's going to grow tired of them and let them go, and they're going to be their people are going to take over their land. It's going to devastate them, etc., and so forth. And so, but it says that I will remember my covenant with Jacob. He's a God who remembers. He's a God who forgives. He's a God who will, for their sake, remember the covenant with their forefathers, whom He brought out of Egypt, and He will not destroy them utterly. He will not spurn them. That is golden. He will not abandon them. He says He will make amends. They shall make amends for their iniquity. And I think that is, like, we're made to know God, and because of sin, and God forgives us, we know Him in a way that is breathtakingly amazing, that He is a forgiving God. He is the God who loves us and is faithful to us when we are unfaithful to Him. He sets us free, and He remains faithful to us throughout all of our days. And that is beautiful. That's a beautiful Lord and God. And you just, like, to reduce it down to a transaction to get yourself out of hell and to tell other people that without giving them any instruction on Leviticus 26 of all things is a crime. We cannot do that. We cannot rob people of the greatest blessing in the world. So if you're a believer, share the beauty of knowing the Lord with anyone and everyone out there, because He is, you will open up your Bible, read it, and study it. Study this chapter, study chapter 27 of Leviticus, and then turn over with me to Mark 2 and look at just who the Lord is. When you see the glory of the Lord, we see it in high definition when Jesus takes on flesh and dwells amongst us. And you see that in Mark 2 when the people bring, they're listening to Him, people are listening to Him and Capernaum, and He's teaching. And it's this story about how it's a packed house. The people who want to bring their paralytic friend to get him healed can't get to him, so they open up a hole in the roof and lower him down through the roof. And here comes this paralyzed guy on a mat. And Jesus says, looks at him, and he's like, "Wow, what faith these guys have!" So because of their faith, He says to that man, "Your sins are forgiven." And people are like, "What?" Okay, there are two reasons people are in shock about this. Most people are like, okay, it's the legs. The legs are the issue here. And Jesus looks behind the legs and says, "Look, your legs can be fine, but if you're a sinner, you are not well. You're in danger of the eternal curse and punishment, and not godly loving fatherly discipline, but eternal wrath for sin. You do not want to align yourself against the Lord." So Jesus looks at him with compassion and forgives his sins. And then to show forth that he has the power to do so, he fixes the legs. He says, "Get up and walk, take your mat and go." And it happens. Now, that so God shocks the people by Jesus saying this, that your sins are forgiven, and then he shocks them by making him walk again. But it shocks the Pharisees, and the Pharisees engage in this conspiracy to kill Jesus. And we see that the sort of the genesis of that here is that he's going to say, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, the Jewish Pharisees did not believe that was possible. They believed that a judgment day was to come where we would all be judged according to our works. And if we had done enough good, we'd be forgiven. If we'd done bad, we'd be condemned. And for Jesus to say, "Now your sins are forgiven forevermore, that you're justified or righteous and without sin is shocking. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel that we believe from the Bible. That's who God is. He does so justly and fairly because Jesus Christ became cursed for our sins. That he wears our sins that we might wear his righteousness through faith. And that is the gospel. You need to know who God is, not just who you think he might be or you've heard he is. Read who he is. It will shock you. Okay, with that said, I want you to dig in. I just don't have enough time to go into all these things. I've taken it a little slow and really diving into a few details here. Oh, another thing I want to mention, he calls himself Son of Man. Okay, he keeps you, we're going to look at that title, but think about why he calls himself Son of Man so many times. You see that in, I think, 2:10. Yeah, 2:10. Know the Son of Man has authority to give sins or forgive sins. Think about why does he use that title? And we'll talk about that more as we go. All right, that's day 51 in the books. God bless you. We'll see you next time.